everyone, and welcome to episode 212 of Fans of Power. I'm Joe Amato, and I'm here with Nathan Kennedy. And Nathan, there was so much news this week, we figured, okay, we won't spread this out into multiple episodes. Just hit it all in one episode, and of course then get to the fans later and even get their thoughts on the things. But so what's up? First, what's up? How you doing?
Doing okay, but yeah, it's kind of strange how we go a few weeks and not really much of anything, and then it just seems like everything hits all at once. That's how it's sort of been lately. Before it was, well, here's the second cartoon, here's all of this, and now we got, what, three bits of news? I wouldn't even call them bits of news. Or maybe even,
well,
there's quite a few things that we're going
to
talk about.
There is. I mean, there's a lot. But first, let's say hello to the people at least we know, I mean, we see so far. Adam Gabbert, Anthony Albanese, Darth Baca, Febmon Grimbot, Joshua Olson, PapaHood69, Rick Poe, Zen Brown, Zentron, and JSP. I think I got all you guys. If I missed anybody, I apologize. But, well, I guess if anything, we can get to the first topic. This one will probably be a quick one because there's not much to say. The others, it'll be interesting. And I'm sure you got some screen caps you'll pop up for the other parts when we're talking. But, of course, now, the Masters of the Universe movie news. I mean, I already know that, you know, they already said, hey, it's not going to be happening at theaters. But even before they were saying that, the rumor was maybe it'll come to Netflix if possible. So, again, take it with a grain of salt. But that's been, of course, the most recent thing now, again, is saying the Masters of the Universe movie, if it's to happen, would possibly go to Netflix. And get ready, it's not 2020, it's not 2021, but now 2022. So yet another year. It's like,
oh,
it just keeps going.
2 years now.
Well, you know, I'm in a year from the 2021 right, that we were promised, guaranteed this time. So, I mean, what did you think when you seen that? And I'm sure everybody, you know, in the chat room is probably like, yeah, same thing,
well,
just a different day.
You already say grain of salt. I'm going with that because I've only seen one website that has published this story. There are other movie news sites that I go to, and I have not seen this anywhere else than this site. So it doesn't completely confirm to me that this is happening, but I think that it is the right way to go, ultimately. I know a lot of people want to see this movie in theaters, but at the same time, if you go with Netflix, and I was talking with Tyler about it this week, and he said that he saw something that someone had posted that like had a good source, that the budget was only supposed to be like $130 million or $140 million. And when you think
about it...
I've seen
that in the post, too. Yeah,
yeah,
I've seen that.
And that's like without the marketing. So you think about a movie that would probably be pretty heavy and reliant on CG to be that low, because that is pretty low for a budget for a film these days, that Sony didn't have a lot of faith in it to begin with. I think going to Netflix works because it does get more eyes on it, whether we like that or not. You don't have to worry about the box office numbers and going off of that. You can just have it out there for people to consume whenever, whatever time, however far away that they want to. And that ultimately, I think that's the best way to go about it, as disappointing as that is.
Now, I wonder with something like that, though, because, I mean, I've seen some Netflix movies where they try special effects or to dazzle people, and some look okay, some are... what I'm getting at is, I mean, how much do you think they'd even put into it? Like, if this is to happen again, because we're not saying it is, but if it was to go to Netflix, I mean, do you see them putting a lot of money in to do big budget things? Or do you think they would kind of like tone it back with special effects and try to focus more on the stories and character design and something like that? It's just, you know, I did, like, again, I don't see them forking a lot of money into a series on Netflix or a movie on Netflix, because you never know, they could put it into like a live action TV series. But I mean, if in the hopes with all of it is like, let's say the movie on Netflix, the two cartoons on Netflix, and if Masters got super popular and hot again, which would be great, then maybe they'd say, hey, let's try something big budget at the theaters. I mean, it's always just wishful thinking, but your thoughts?
I mean, that's certainly possible, and we've seen it in the chat that budget that I talked about with Sony having is not too low, but you got to think, like, the marketing aspect of it. I think that's the main thing that Sony worries about, because their track record with everything else so far has been pretty poor. They haven't had a lot of good returns. They haven't had, like, a lot of major hits back-to-back, so... Diving into a property like this, you're definitely taking a chance. But I think with it being in the hands of Netflix, it's ultimately easier. Yes, the budget would be lower, but that also gives them an opportunity to concentrate and accentuate the positives and maybe not worry so much about everything else that we would have had to have worried about had it been a major motion picture release.
Yeah, because it makes you wonder, like, you know, again, all hypothetical, but like, let's say it went to the theaters and they did try to put a big budget into it. Like, let's say they did more than $150 million, but then would they have cut back on a good story? Because sometimes movies, all they want to do is wow people with the special effects. So maybe you're right, if it goes, and like I was saying earlier, if it went to just Netflix, maybe they could deliver a better story, not as much special effects. But, I mean, again, it's just all thinking about what could happen, but it's nothing to get excited about because, yet again, now to 2022, and I'm sure when 2022 comes around, we'll have something else like, oh, it's going to come out in 2024, so we're all going to be like 90 years old when this movie finally comes out, and nobody's going to be able to see it.
But it's kind of the issue that you have these days, especially with movies getting wide releases. We looked at Birds of Prey that came out this weekend, right? The lowest opening weekend for a DC Universe movie that they've done. And I know a lot of that has to do with Justice League being bad and going forward in Suicide Squad. Like, Suicide Squad made a ton of money, whether we like it or not, which helped provide this sort of offshoot sequel for the Harley Quinn character. But it kind of makes you think, like, if something like that is not doing well return-wise, what would one expect from a Master Universe movie? And that's the genuine concern, because you can make a fantastic movie and you can market it well, but if people don't want to go see it, then they're just not going to go see it. And that's that fine line that we always talk about. You have to have that general audience. You can't just rely on the people that have been with this property for years. They're going to probably go see it regardless, whether it looks good or looks bad, just to support it.
Yeah. But no, I mean, it's true. I mean, you got to think about people like, again, I always bring up Lord of the Rings for an example. I mean, yes, we know about the books, but I would say a great majority of people that went to see Lord of the Rings probably never read the books.
No.
Or some might not even know about it. Like I said, there was a lot at that time when there was people you didn't think would be into fantasy. They think, oh, they're just more into action or comedy or horror. But everybody was loving it. And that's the thing. If you could just deliver a great movie, it's not like you think, okay, we need all the 80s fans who grew up with He-Man to love it. If there's people that just love going to a movie, they like picture seeing a trailer like, wow, now that looks like a good movie. I mean, that looks great. I mean, that's all it takes to get somebody excited. But, well, at least that's the movie thing. Because like you said, we won't dwell on it more because I'm sure we're going to hear next week something else. But
Guys, like, don't start getting any of your hopes up until you start seeing more casting news. Like, once you get more casting news and get an idea of how things are shaping up, then you can get excited about them going into production and actually moving forward with it. But for now, it's all just, it's all hearsay.
17 years of, 17 years or longer of speculation. So, but now we're going to go to Revelation. So I don't know which one you wanted to talk about first, because, again, it's nothing definite, but I don't know if you want to talk about some of the possible voice actors maybe that could be working on this. So I didn't know if you had a screen cap and if you wanted me to read anything, but
Yeah, you sent me the link. Actually, I didn't make the little screen. I can go ahead and pop this up really fast and just overlay it over top of us right now.
Okay. Because like I said, some of these things that are coming up again are not confirmed when we're saying this, but could be interesting. And I'm on that 30-second delay, too, so I'm going to have to wait with just like everybody in the chat room to see.
Yeah, well, I went ahead and popped it up right here, but we've got some interesting things. This could all be speculative as well, but it seems that Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill might be involved with this project, and I am totally and all for this.
And I would, too. I mean, again, speculation would be great because, I mean, immediately the voice that comes into my head, I'm thinking, okay, if it's Mark Hamill, he's got to be doing Skeletor. That's all I can envision is him doing a Skeletor. And I'm sure he'd put a good take or a slight different, you know, spin on the voice because, you know, I mean, God bless Alan Oppenheimer, but when people were saying, oh, the new Revelations cartoons come out, he's got to reprise the role of Skeletor. It's like, did he say he wanted to? And it's not being mean, but the guy's, what is he, 90, close to 90? Does he have the energy, the enthusiasm? Does he even say he wanted to? Right. And I like that it would be a different voice actor. I mean, yes, they like to say this is picking up where Filmation left off, but of course we know it's not going to look like Filmation. We know this. But story-wise and somewhat elements, it would be great. But I always like hearing new voices doing the characters that we love for a new series. I mean, would it be great if he did it and it sounded spot on, like, you know, the back in the day in the 80s? That would be, but I don't think he would have that same oomph to do it, even how they alter voices, and plus, does he want to do it? But immediately, I thought of, you know, Mark Hamill, I was thinking, maybe Skeletor. Again, speculation, but your thoughts. That's the only character I could think of.
Yeah, I would be on. I honestly, I would be on board with Mark Hamill being Skeletor. Now, with Kevin Conroy, who would you have in mind for him? I really don't.
Because he couldn't do He-Man. No, he wouldn't be He-Man. Because, you know, if he's doing Batman's voice, you know, and yes, it's Batman a little darker, but Bruce Wayne one way. But I was like, I don't know. But then you think, well, God, if they're bringing him in, you figure, are they going to try to make him do the main hero's voice? And could he do somewhat of a different type? You know what I mean? To elevate
it. I mean, no. When you think about it from a marketing perspective, if this were to be true and you had that, then you could play off of that. Just be like, oh, we have the voice actor of Batman and we have the voice actor of Joker and they're going to be He-Man and Skeletor. That would probably... in today's culture, nerd culture, that would probably divide a lot of fans, but I think a lot of people would be really excited about it if that were to happen. So I don't really have anybody in mind for Kevin Conroy, but I don't see him being He-Man, but I guess he could pull it off. It just sort of depends because I did actually meet him at a convention and I got him to sign my mask as a Phantasm poster. And that's just his voice. Like, he's just altered it just a bit to sound like Bruce and to sound like Batman. That's just the way that he talks. And I don't know if I see that translating over to He-Man. But at the same time, too, if you take that and have him do that, depending on the art style that they're going with, which I'm assuming is still like that Castlevania Netflix look because it is the same people behind that show, it might work. You just got to see it all in motion. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, and you're right, you got to see it in motion. We got to hear everything. It's just like we've said, and people in the chat room saying, I mean, it's just speculation,
yeah.
But
yeah.
It's still something hot to at least, you know, kind of talk about and I guess entertain the idea of if this is something they kind of posted, made you think, what if? I do like, you know, the thought of if they did have some really good voice actors into the cartoon, known ones, because that does help sometimes.
You're right.
You hear that. Yeah, you hear Mark Hamill, and then you hear Kevin Conroy. I mean, you hear these names and you're thinking, oh, okay, this might be pretty good. At least they won't sound like it'd be corny voice acting.
Yes.
I'm not saying that we're going for Oscars, but sometimes there are some cartoons you watch and you hear the voice actors like, wow, that's pretty bad. That's painful. So having somebody that established and that well known could only help the property, if anything.
Well, I think when you bring, if these guys are involved, you bring along a ton of experience with everything that they've been involved in. I can think of a handful of other voice actors that would be nice to have just as either reoccurring characters or maybe just like guest starring roles or something. When you put those people together, they have all of that experience, and that's just something that you can't teach anybody. Like when you put it all together, because I'm sure that they probably have input as well. They've been doing it long enough. And Kevin Smith, and we're going to kind of like dabble into this as well, that he's also talked about, like, he doesn't know the property front to back like a lot of people do, so he's sort of leaving aspects of it into hands of others, but he is there to sort of kind of give his input, maybe approve a little bit of the designs and such, but at the end of the day, it's kind of, he's leaving it in the hands of other people that he trusts. So you take all those elements and hopefully this makes a show that will be memorable and will last and can get people excited.
Stand the test of time. That's what you want. I mean, like I said, any of these cartoons, it's like the ones we grew up with. You know, look at how far, you know, it's come and what it's created from other things all these years without having anything new recently. I mean, it's great with the MYP, Mike Young Productions cartoon that happened in early 2000. That was great too, but the Filmation has been celebrated for years and fans have kept it alive, and you would hope that they could create something that not only we could still keep alive, but a new generation of fans, because some things that have popped up recently, I think will be forgotten, and mostly is forgotten already. It's like nobody's going to celebrate that in 30 years. And, you know, I would hope it wouldn't be something as obvious as, like, with Kevin Smith, you know, talking to Mark Hamill and Kevin Conroy for a project. And it's like how Grimbot was saying is, like, he figures it'd be Batman related. And, you know, you'd almost think that. Could I would be. Just hope. Would it be that obvious? You know what I mean? Would it be? Because you immediately would think, oh, Batman and Joker. But I don't know. I don't know
because Conroy and Hamill go back and forth so many times about, like, I'm done playing Batman, I'm done playing Joker. And I know that Kevin Smith is definitely a fan of, like, the, just comic books in general. So it could just be a project similar to that, and it has nothing to do with this new show. It's just us sort of being hopeful. So, well, yeah, I don't know. We'll see how that goes. I think it's kind of funny, too, because Kevin Smith does have a tendency, and he's done this plenty of times the last 15 years. He gets people excited, like, I'm doing Clerks 3, but then he's not, and he goes and he does other projects, and now he's come back around to it. I know there for a while, he's like, I'm doing Mallrats 2, and he took selfies with him and other people in the cast to get people excited, hey, I'm doing Mallrats 2, and then that nothing really came of that either. So this could all be more of the same thing. We'll just have to see how that pans out.
Yes, we will. And in staying with Masters of the Universe Revelation, which I was getting in the habit of saying Revelations, you know, it's just hard saying the word without S, but it's Revelation. Well, the other bit of news was, like, somebody was inquiring, like, is it possible She-Ra would pop up in this cartoon? And I think within the interview, he said, It's possible, and if she was to show up, maybe season 2, possibly season 3, which would be great, and obviously it would not be the 12-year-old She-Ra from the Netflix series of Princesses of Power. We'd be getting that ass-kicking, heroic warrior that's coming to fight. That's what you want to see. That's what I want to see from She-Ra, is some ass-kicker. So, and again, that's what I'm just assuming, but in no way I'm thinking, hey, we're going to put in 12-year-olds with He-Man. It don't make sense. Those two cartoons just wouldn't, it just doesn't gel. It doesn't make sense, especially if this is a continuation of Filmation, you know, in at least the story-wise, what they're trying to say. But yeah, She-Ra from Netflix, Princess of Power, it wouldn't be her.
And I'm sure your heart just sank. You're like, wait,
it did.
The She-Ra from my favorite show of all time is not going to have any involvement in this new show to tie everything together. Just absolute heartbreak.
It is. It's heart. No, yeah. But it would be nice if she did pop up season 2, season 3. Like I said, if this cartoon hopefully is a success. I mean, I'm really banking on and hoping on it. I mean, the other He-Man cartoon coming out, assuming it's just going to be more kiddie-like. But it's like I said, Grimbot, you and a lot of people in the He-Man community is like, you know, why do you need to have two cartoons? Why don't you just have a cartoon that can be, you know, like geared towards kids, young adults, and then older, you know, adults, just adults in general? It's like that can happen. The Filmation cartoon reached everybody. You didn't feel like you had to be a kid, or if you're an adult, I can't watch this cartoon. Anybody could. So, I mean, if it is true with Revelation probably being the more adult and the He-Man being more kiddie, I don't know. It's just, I sometimes wish I could just focus on one thing, because it's like, let's say this movie happens. It's a lot. It's good for Masters, but I just hope it isn't, again, too much. One cartoon in a movie is great. Two cartoons, I don't know. And, well, I guess that's the other thing is, here's one more thing about this possible cartoon was, somebody asked again, I think, like, hey, do you think there could be a He-Man She-Ra Christmas special? And I think he said, oh, it's something could be possible. Again, not confirmed. It would have to be some weird kind of throwaway episode. And the last thing pertaining to this cartoon was they asked him about action figures. Like, is this something that's going to happen? And I believe, and I don't know if you had that saved or if that was something you can bring up, but they are going to try to have Masters of the Universe Revelation figures based off of the cartoon. So Then I'll have my thoughts.
Oh, yeah, I didn't have the image for that to pop up. But going back to the Christmas special, because I did pull up the link that you had sent me, we have talked at length about the Christmas special and how to reflect it in what we're doing as well, because it's such a seminal classic in the Masters line. Our storyline doesn't really lend to Christmas whatsoever, but there's a way to homage that, at least acknowledge it in some way within what we're doing. But perhaps, again, season 2, if we ever got one, would be an absolute wonderful place to be like, now let's do a Christmas special as well. And I guess that line's kind of a bit concerning, because he's already kind of having doubts, like, season two, if we got one. So that kind of gives me the...
Well, I hope it ain't doubts. I hope it's just a casual way of saying something.
He does have a tendency to kind of be self-deprecating in his own work, but to sit there and say immediately, season two, if we got one,
like the best positive attitude coming out of the gate, but I don't think he meant, I'd hope he did.
Yeah, I don't think he meant it that way either, but I think just hearing that, well, it's probably what most creators have in mind when they're jumping on a project. You're like, you hope that there's a season two, because people are so quick, especially executives, to just immediately cancel something if it's not doing too well, but I don't know. Like, having him as the showrunner is, like, a positive and at the same time a negative, because, like, he definitely can provide the knowledge and he has the wherewithal to kind of help guide things. I think he's in a position that he's able to do that. But at the same time, too, like, he does have a bit of a stigma around him, especially with the way that his movies have gone lately. Like, now his movies don't even open up in wide release. They're just kind of gone the way of, like, the indie band and all these other bands now. It's like, and maybe that's part of it too, with the shift of everything. Maybe it's made its way to Hollywood, where now it's reliant on crowdsourcing and crowdfunding to get things off the ground, and then once you film it, the distribution aspect of it just takes a completely different way than how it's been before. I don't know where the thought's really going with that. It's just, to have him behind the show is nice, but at the same time, like, I understand everyone's concern more past the fact that they thought that he was just going to write everything and it was just going to be dick and fart jokes and whatnot, but more of the aspect of, like, Hollywood has sort of pushed him off to the side. I don't know. I feel like his verbiage between now and when the show comes out is going to change, like it has with everything else. So that's
I'm really wondering when we're finally going to hear at least some little bit of news, you know, maybe about a possible first, you know, image for this new cartoon, and then the trailer, and then when they're trying to, you know, think about when it would come out, which I'm assuming 2021, there's no way they would get it out this year, I don't believe. But along the lines of him saying, yes, they're going to make some figures based off of the cartoon, I mean, I'm probably going to catch flack because I know people love classics, and I love classics too. But I got to say, the 2000 X figures, beyond the Hunchback that a lot of them suffered from, which drove me nuts, what I liked was the Horsemen got to showcase their talents by giving you new, different types of sculpts for almost every character. And again, let's screw the variants too, but I'd like seeing different designs.
Yeah.
And yes, the vintage figures, yes, we know that they reused the same buck over and over and then did have different design figures, different style bucks. So that's good. In classics, it's basically based all on the same buck style, but I kind of get excited thinking, all right, in Revelations, you know, when they make these figures, well, they hopefully have them based off of the cartoon in different shapes, like how just the 2000 X figures did, which I'd hope. I don't want them to use, okay, here's this weird, possibly skinnier styled muscled He-Man buck that's going to be used for all Revelations figures. I don't want that to happen. I want something to be like 2000 X, because they really got, again, they got to showcase different styles, different figures, sizes, sculpts, poses. I wasn't a fan of Triclops, though, in that weird pose that he has to be stuck in. For the 2000X figures. But otherwise, that's the type of stuff I'd like to see. I don't know about you, if you want a same buck used for everything, or if you're hoping different sculpts for the different characters in proportion to what they should be looking like in the cartoon.
Well, of course, you obviously want a figure that resembles what you see on screen, but at the same time, like, they're going to do what they can to cut costs wherever. So I would see it being more in the tradition of the way that it's always been of, let's reuse this and this, repaint this. Oh, hey, here we go.
You don't think they'll go the 2000X route? I'm hoping, but you don't think they'll try?
We're under the assumption that Mattel's going to be putting these figures out. Like that's...
I thought so when I read that article, if I'm not mistaken, I thought that's what was said. I don't have the article in front of me, but if I'm not mistaken, I thought, you know, Mattel would be putting them out.
Then, I think it would be the same old with Mattel. It'll be like, all right, we're going to reuse this. Let's get the variants, case counts. It's going to be He-Man, Skeletors all over the place. Everybody else, if you want them, good luck. It sucks to say that. Maybe it would be better in the hands of, like, another... I guess you couldn't do that because Mattel would just be like, no, we're putting our foot down, which is the other aspect of this whole thing, is now it just goes back into Mattel, like, all of a sudden, oh, yeah, we really love this property after they cast it off to the side for so many years. Like, why all of a sudden did they get the wild hair to just be like, oh, yeah, it's been around this entire time. Everybody loves it. Like, I still can't get past that.
I'll be curious. I'd like to get, I mean, it'd be towards, right, like, after we do our next couple topics, when we hit the question answer with the fans, that's one of the questions I'm going to ask everybody in the chat room is, you know, what would they prefer, a universal same buck style for these new Revelation figures or different style sculpts for each character? So, I mean, because you never know, there are some people that, yes, they just love all the same buck and some like the different ones, but I'd be curious to see what they think. And within the figures, because there's so many things to babble about, did you want to put up the thing that was shown for the one convention in Germany? It's a toy fair. They have an international toy fair in Germany.
Yeah, I got that up right now.
And I'll read a quick article that Val put on He-Man.org in, you know, pertaining to this. It said, Mattel gave a private showing of its Masters of the Universe Origins. Yeah, because I'm not reading that abbreviation. Recently,
Motu.
Thank you. And it's at a thing that I cannot pronounce. You'd have to give me. I'd screw it up if I say Spielwareninnensis. The International Toy Fair.
Best of luck with that one, Joe.
Yeah, the best of luck. Everybody's like, Joe, you're illiterate. You know, like, I don't know. I just can't read it. But International Toy Fair in Nuremberg, Germany. And a list is circulating the internet of what may have been shown. Again, may have been shown. Is it accurate? We'll find out soon enough at Toy Fair 2020, which isn't that in this month? Isn't it February for Toy Fair, I think? Or I can't even remember when Toy Fair is, but I for some reason thought it was this month. But I might be wrong. But here's the list of supposed things that could be coming. For figures, Wave 1, okay, we know He-Man, Man-at-Arms, Skeletor, Beastman. Wave 2, Teela, Evil-Lyn, Orko. Wave 3, Scareglow, Manny Faces, Merman. And Wave 4, Trapjaw, Stratos, Triclops, Stinkor. Now we start getting to other things that, you know, because some of those things we already knew they were working on, because we've seen even pictures of some.
Right.
And I think images. But when we get to Wave 5, Webstore, Fisto, Mossman, Roboto. Wave 6, Jitsu, Battle Armor, He-Man, Buzz Off, Clawful. And then they said a mail-away faker. And I got to admit, if this is true, I think it would be cool. It's been so long that we got to experience one of those mail-aways. That was fun. And at least this time, you know, I guess we can have proof of where this figure came from. Right. Unlike some other mysterious mail-away figure back then. This one, if it's true, we got it. Then they go to vehicles. They said Battle Cat, you know, Sky Sled with Prince Adam, Panther with Fur, Wind Raider, Battle Ram, and Zodak on the silver floating chair platform, which would be cool. We've always wanted Zodak to have his flying chair. Then they got to some weird shop exclusives. It doesn't say where they would be, but like a two-pack of Beastman and Merman with interchangeable hands, different heads. A Teela Man-at-Arms thing, same thing. Then the boxes would be like a Battle Cat with art on top, so a window style. Then they got to some convention ones. Skeletor Keldor two-pack. And then they got to the last thing, which it said Castle Grayskull under consideration. And they said, looks like the Classics one, but with an old paint job with black on the face. I guess, you know, like Castle Grayskull, unless items included. But your thoughts on all this stuff? Again, this is just rumored. It'd be cool to think, hey, they got kind of like a little outline planned here of mapping out what they want to release. But what do you think?
I'm there. The variants are minimal. We only have Battle Armor He-Man, so that's kind of nice.
I like that. You're right. Good to see that. Right within each wave, we don't have to see. Okay, they got Battle Armor He-Man, Battle Armor Skeletor. Oh, but the next one we got here's the Thunder Punch look. You know, it's
Go ahead. But I kind of wonder if this is true. The spacing that we're looking at between waves and hitting the market.
I would say that the waves wouldn't represent each year because just like back in the day, we had different waves that would come out within the same year. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't think it's like that. That's not a 6-year mapping out, I don't believe. Heck, that could be just maybe 3 or that could even be 2 years. You never know.
Well, because if I'm not mistaken, was Evil Lyn shown in like the little pictures that were going around for the Origins line? So obviously.
I thought she was Evil Lyn and Teela. And I think Scareglow. Oh, and we recently seen that kind of like little video pack Scareglow.
Yeah.
But for some reason, I kind of thought there was a picture of Orko. Unless I'm hallucinating, somebody have to correct me in the chat room. But I thought it was Orko.
I don't remember seeing Orko, but I remember kind of seeing most everyone else in those first two waves. So maybe since there's 6 waves that we have here, maybe it's 2 waves per year. Maybe I don't know. We'll see how that turns out. I did want to say Toy Fair is February 22nd through the 25th, so we're a couple weeks out from actually seeing if this is confirmed or not.
Yeah, I have a feeling we are going to see stuff. I mean, I'm just trying to stay optimistic because I just can't picture. It's like how, and they keep wanting to say, yeah, this is not confirmed, but it's strange just to have that level of information in detail. You know, detail. It's like they have to be on something. But yeah, as for the waves, 2, maybe 3, because if there's just 4 figures per wave, it's like, wow, I'm thinking that just like when they were doing classics and other things, they usually try to have 12 figures a year, so maybe we would get 3 waves in a year, you know, like every 4 months you get your...
Yeah, that would make sense, and also, too, I think it would be a good idea to, even while the new waves are coming out, continue to ship older waves to stores.
If they're hot, too, especially if they're hot, because I've seen some people say, damn it, where's the Sorceress? I'm like, in the chat room, we even had Brett Jordan saying, no Ram Man, god damn it, because, yeah, I would love the Ram Man. I would love to see
Ram Man. The hope for this is that you would eventually have everybody that came out in the original vintage line, and maybe more so, maybe some other characters that... we didn't get, or Super 7 didn't put out, which is kind of funny because I've been working through getting the complete vintage figures. Like, well, they don't have to some of them don't have to have their weapons or anything, but I'm working through that list and I'm towards the tail end of it. And I'm like, all right, well, Scareglow, this is probably going to be the only way I'll actually own a Scareglow because
he's pricey.
There's no way I'll probably get a vintage unless anyone wants to send it to me. Just
that's a little hint, wink, wink. Yeah, that he's trying to get you. Send him off a Scareglow. But no, I mean, I would like to see all of them done again. But I mean, some people are like burnt out. They're like, Jesus, we already got them in classics again. And that's why we would want. I'm hoping, if anything, please give us more. Give us some of those mini comic characters that were, you know, characters in the mini comics that never had a vintage style figure, and give us some of the ones from the, you know, maybe some of the UK stuff where they had different things like Skrullos, anything, things from the cartoons that we never got. We have to mix it up. We can't constantly keep getting just the same figures that were from vintage in every other. I mean, yes, we know we'd want to get them and they're coming, but give us more, especially like because new people coming to the line, coming back, they're going to be super excited. But some of the people that have been collecting for the X amount of years recently might get burned out. I mean, I'm just excited about getting these and seeing them back in retail, but I could see others possibly just not flipping and going over the moon of the same characters.
Well, I mean, imagine like a Granimir, you know, like just in a smaller scale from classics, but still like enough when you put it in the scale of a vintage figure, it still looks pretty massive. Like, that would be awesome to have. Like, just do some of the various things that people clamor for and haven't really gotten in either classics form or vintage form,
which would be again great. And I'm hoping when they do their vehicles, it's a twist and not just feeling exactly the same, because like, again, how many times can you make that Wind Raider? I mean, it's it's got to be slightly modified, but my god, I mean, there was like when Grimbot was talking, I've seen a lot of others saying, okay, can we get a Landshark? Can we get something else? Can we get a Fright Fighter? Anything? Bastiosaurus? I mean, I still think Landshark, I mean, Rotom, don't get me wrong, is a great vehicle. And I know some people see that as their main evil vehicle from back in the day. But mine was always Landshark. That thing looked wicked. I was like, well, I don't think we're ever going to get a Classics version. So if you're going to do it for Origins, again, up the wickedness, just a little more detail. It's like, I just still cannot believe Landshark was never made in Classics. That blows my mind. I mean, I did a poll years ago. I mean, a long time ago. I didn't mean to cut you off, but I mean, time ago, before we were getting more Classics vehicles. And I did my little pictures of every single one of them. Landshark, like, beat all the evil vehicles. And then right under that was Rotom, but poor fucking I broke it. Damn. I said I wasn't going to say one the whole show, and there it went.
You can't help yourself. I'll ask you this. Why are they so intent on the Wind Raider with everything? Like, Mega Constructs, Classics. Like, why do they keep going back to that one
because
vehicle?
Because it's the most iconic. It really is. Most people know it. It's cool, and, you know, and especially for kids, you know, you imagine it's flying around, but it is it's a great design, don't get me wrong, but I think it's because it's probably one of the most iconic vehicles that almost everybody has or knows the Wind Raider. And I think they would know the Landshark too, but when you start getting some other vehicles, that, like, yeah, if I'd like a Fright Fighter, Bashasaurus, but some fans are like, what? Well, I mean, of course, you figure almost all He-Man fans would know, but it's not really some of the most iconic.
Yeah, well, because in my attempts to get a complete vintage figure collection, I've somehow gradually been drugged into I'm going to start getting the vehicles as well. I'm getting a couple of them sent to me. And there were quite a few that, especially on my eBay searches, depending on price, you could see like what the common ones were back in the day. Wind Raider, Spidor, Rotom, because that one's pretty cheap. Why were not any of those repurposed in a Classics edition? Because you're sitting here telling me, like, all right, well, Wind Raider's like the classic, everyone had it, but they had a lot of these other ones too. Why weren't they made?
And I think a lot of the others, at least classic wise, I don't know if, okay, we know Classics didn't have action features, you know, they didn't want to add that, and obviously things with batteries would never happen.
Right
now, I would hope now, I mean, I don't see the issue, especially if it's going to retail and it'd be hot and it's mass produced. I mean, if we do get a Spidor, a Dragon Walker, a Tac Track, I'd pray that they add the battery feature so these things can be in motion. Let the kids experience what we experienced. I mean, I loved watching how creepy Spidor was when he would crawl and he'd go forward and back. Dragon Walker was slower than shit, but it was still cool to watch him going across. Maybe if you made a little ledge design and a Tac Track, you've got to have those things going. Thump, thump, thump. You just can't have that. Like, okay, let me push it across. I pray they do action features. That's something I'm not sure, again, if they've asked people at Mattel, like, hey, if you're doing these vehicles, if they were to come, will they have action features? I don't even know if that was ever brought up, to be honest. I don't know.
Sorry, I was like messing around with other stuff to get us back on the screen here. But yeah, I hope that the line's successful enough that they decide, like, all right, well, we'll throw some vehicles into the mix and we'll do that. Because it would be cool to see some of them back again, but like a little more detail, as you said, not just rehashes, because we're already getting the line with articulation. That if they're going to do vehicles, hopefully, then they'll add a little more to it to make it
yeah, like special. Maybe some of the stickers would be just like how they did for Classics, maybe just painted in, because I mean, that's one thing that sucked. I mean, no matter how good you try to treat your vehicle playing with it, you're moving around and a lot of them stickers were always just there goes the corner peel. Hell, you might not even have to play with them, just depend on temperatures, just peeling off the stickers. So I would hope, don't do stickers, just have it maybe right in there. But that's that thing. There's one more thing with figures, and then we can get to the chat room with anything they want to say about what we were talking about or anything else. But you got to pop up something about PowerCon here.
There we
go. all right. I want to choke Val. I'd like to choke him or just punch him right in the stomach. He's like, damn it. Why? Now these are things I want. We're seeing these shadowed off images of, obviously, these are like based off of Mark Taylor's designs, but you could even say, hey, this could be kind of like Lords of Power, maybe 5-pack, you know, that they're showing. Because remember, that was one of the early, you know, conceptual names that they had, Lords of Power, when Andy Yousey, the one that joined, you know, he's our buddy, joined us on the podcast a while back. He's the one that owns those original small little, like, things that when you blew it up, it was called Lords of Power. And look at this. I mean, you know, you're getting He-Man, Skeletor, Man-at-Arms, Beast-Man, Merman, and they showed another image where they had She-Ra.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, so they might have a She-Ra exclusive in Origin style. It's like, I can't go to these Power Cons. I just can't go. It's like, but damn, I want this, but I think it's exclusive to Power Con.
Well, I'll go ahead and read this from the Power Con website.
While I sit here and try to calm down about the anger I have towards Val, this crap.
And while I say this too, as of January 31st, they're about 50%, maybe a little over 50% booked for the hotel. So if you guys are planning to go, make sure you go ahead and get your hotel booked and everything. But I'll go ahead and read this verbatim as it goes down the list. The PowerCon 2020 ticket and exclusive presale for attendees will start Saturday, March 7th at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern Time. The non-attendee presale will begin 2 weeks later on Saturday, March 21st at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. So, Joe, you could do the non-attendee presale thing, which, if I am not mistaken, from last year when we talked to Val, that if you do that, then they have specific people that can grab the item that you want. And honestly, Joe, I think if you and I don't go this year, which... you know, Val's already paid for the hotel and the flight out and all that. At least that's what I heard anyway. That we could probably, if someone in the chat room's going, I think JSP goes to these things. I know Jeremy DeWitt goes. You know, maybe we can, maybe I say we, because Joe will be like, I can't do that. Maybe I'll fork over the money and be like, hey,
pay you guys in installments. Yeah. I appreciate it. Good. I will. I'll pay you in installments. That's, you know, just like I did, how I, you know, cut back and I'm eating my ramen noodles. I got to have these.
Right.
So I'll pay you guys one way or another. I'm good for it.
All right. Well, it says here that more details will be coming soon on exactly how the pre-sales work. And also there's the link for ticket info and pricing. For the exclusives, PowerCon and Mattel are giving fans a teaser of what to expect so you can start making your plans. So as we have here on the screen, it's the Origins 5-pack. And the attendee price is $200, so I imagine that the non-attendee price could be slightly higher. I guess we'll find out about that in the coming weeks. Exclusive 2, which was the She-Ra, the attendee price is $40. And then there is a third exclusive, which is a Hot Wheels item that we don't know exactly what that is. So all the exclusives are produced in very limited quantities, almost said qualities, and are first come, first serve. If the PowerCon exclusives do not sell out to attendees by March 21st, then the remaining stock will be offered to non-attendees who can't make it to the show. So that kind of adds in the aspect, if enough people go and buy them, then the non-attendees might not get one. We're going to have Val on the show, so...
so I can yell at him, because I'm telling you, people are going to fucking riot. Well, there I go again. I can't help it. They're
going
to riot. Give me these. I need them, Val. I need these things. So, yeah, I'm going to be... I'll be doing installments and papers. No, but, I mean, just, you know, giving them some shit. But, I mean, that is cool. And it's an exclusive 5-pack, so these ain't going to be separate, so... I'd like to see how that's displayed. Is it going to be one of those open up things like some of those commemoratives back in the day, you know, for early 2000? Or is this going to be like one big blister thing where you see all five in a row? Either way, I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued to finally see, like, how are they going to do a She-Ra? I mean, is she going to have the – obviously, she has to have extra articulation, but is her hair going to be molded or will it be, like, actual hair like how it was back in the day? It's interesting. Those – I mean, they all sound fantastic. The Hot Wheels item, I'm obviously going to be honest, I don't care. I'm not flipping over. It's like when they showed that big truck they had or a big van that was an exclusive a while back. I was like, I just can't get excited about this. For those who do and liked it, great. But I was like, nah, I'd just rather get these figures.
Yeah,
and of course,
I've never been into Hot Wheels. It was just never a thing. Like, ever at any point in my life was I'm like,
I'll admit, as a kid, I did. And when I'd have like a couple quarters or something, because those things were real cheap back in the day, I remember getting a lot of them. I still have some of my Hot Wheels collection. But and for you guys who are wondering, you know, like the PowerCon is going to be August 8th and 9th, Anaheim, California, obviously. So that's when it's going to be. I was like, California? I don't know. I can't even say the state anymore. But yeah, 8th and 9th.
It's like in The Wizard. California.
Yeah. California. Yeah. But, and also he said, and while we wait for the official reveal of the PowerCon exclusives, be sure to turn your attention to Toy Fair 2020 in New York, February 22nd and through the 25th. Keep an eye out for Toy Fair info from Pixel Dan, He-Man.org, and many other outlets. So, yeah, people will be they're going to be showing what's coming, so I'm hoping it's pretty good. And I hope that can get other figures people weren't expecting, just to get those who weren't super excited maybe aboard. So, but that's a, that was a lot. Jeez, all this news in this just 1 week. I was like, no, yeah, we're not going to separate. Again, not in the separate shows, just do it all in one. But now, turn it to the chat room. Yes, I just noticed Redmond said 2 F-bombs, but if you guys had any questions or comments you want to say about what we've been talking about or anything else, pop it right here, right now, and then we'll address all your comments and questions. Because, I mean, I just missed everything in the chat room. So if there's something you want to double up and say again so we can get to it now, you can do it right now. And, of course, I'll be able to give anybody I see different in here a shout-out. I don't even know, was Zen Brown here at the beginning? Yes. But I see Zen Brown, I see Rick Pope. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I think maybe. I was going to go ahead and read comments off from last week's video. And also, I want to thank all of you that tuned in to watch the videos that I published on the channel this week that had me digging up in my parents' attic trying to be like, oh, yeah, what's in this tote? What all do I have?
That was fun to see. Yeah. That was fun to see.
So, obviously, we had a lot of... hey, Tyler showed up. This is great. This is awesome.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, I want to go ahead and say this too. I think he said this last week as well. Don't expect him back every week, but he will return on another episode. He will be back. I would kind of be similar if you guys are into wrestling. Some of you aren't, but CM Punk showing up on that WWE backstage show. Like he'll be around. He'll be around. It's not going to be another like 6 months kind of thing. He'll show up periodically.
But more exciting than that damn boring backstage show, which
it is like that whole thing kind of bugged me. I'm like, CM Punk is back, but
on there, I was like, oh, that's exciting. Yeah. So yeah, when Tyler's here, yes, a lot more exciting than that damn backstage show.
A blue-haired lawyer said, totally agree about Super 7 and the whole pre-ordering thing. Collecting toys shouldn't have this many headaches. Not being able to find them in stores, scalpers, crappy distribution, sky-high prices, whatever. It's annoying. And I totally agree with that. Like, it sucks that, like, the toy aisle went from, like, little kids going in there and having a great time to now it's just, like, adult collectors going in there and either getting the stuff for themselves or those dirt bags that go in there and they're going to sell it for 3 times the price on eBay. Like, I always hate that. Just pretty much all the comments on here, it's like, oh, it's great to see Tyler. Great to see Tyler. Descendants of Grayskull said, you have standards, Tyler, and there's nothing wrong with that at all. I'm the same with animation styles and stories based on the years of watching Disney, He-Man, She-Ra, Thundercats, and in the 90s with DC and Marvel animated series.
It's a standards. You're right. Yeah. Agreed. Standards and passion. That's all we ever try to explain anytime we talk about this stuff is, you know, it's like we said, or I said, with the Sonic the Hedgehog, the whole thing. They avoided any hate. They did. They avoided any hate because anybody else that would talk about, I don't like this movie, they're going to be called a name for some reason for hating. It's like, no, they're passionate fans, and it showed with Sonic, and it's great how they went back, redid it, which Sonic, I think, comes out this coming week. So, I mean, hopefully everybody that said, hey, you know, you better redo it, they go and support it because they put some extra money. I'm going to see it because I always loved the video game Sonic. I was number 2 in the entire world for the Sega Dreamcast version of Sonic Adventure.
Yeah, okay.
I'm not plugging myself.
I don't see any evidence that this is true. So as far as I'm concerned, you're just talking.
I'm
going to
find my old VHS tape because I recorded
that. All right,
I'm not people, you know, I ain't lying. I was number 1 in the United States, number 2 in the world. And as I was closing that gap, that's when that stupid controller, it was Interact or Mad Cats, came in and just boom, screwed everything up. Things were going too fast and they canceled that damn contest for Sonic Adventure on the Dreamcast. I would have been number 1, damn it. I would have had a gold trophy of Sonic.
Nope.
Okay.
Wrong.
All right. Piss off, Nathan. All right. Now, Adam Gabbert said, Nathan, is it okay for Joe himself? Well, I got to get your permission, Nathan. Is it okay for me to discuss a figure that I'm working on that's in back of me?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
No.
There you go, Adam.
Go ahead. It's been sitting back there the entire episode. Go ahead and show
it. I got to redo. Yeah, I got to do some more parts to it, but in back of me is a mega beast, man. I got to do a little extras, but he's a big sucker. I mean, it took a lot, and everybody said, what was the base? Because I did like a little black and white preview picture. I'm like, what was the base figure? I was like, Don't know. So I'll be honest, I was at a flea market. There was this big freaking figure. I was like, oh my God, he looks perfect for Beast Man. This figure had these busted off things on its back, so obviously more was to it. But I was like, I don't know what it was. I probably should have took a before picture so I could have said, hey guys, what is this in case I have to make it again? But he's a big sucker. And like I said, I sculpted like his crotch, his belt, his entire armor fur.
Hey,
his...
and if you guys know Joe, you know Joe loves sculpting crotches.
Sculpting the crotch, and then of course his shoulder pads, and then the head. So a lot went into it, and I'll be showing it this week. But Adam, thank you for that, and thank you, Nathan, for allowing me to talk about that.
I've always, like, anytime you're working on something, just go ahead and promote it on the show. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, I know. It just makes me look like
shill it, man. We've already done the PowerCon thing. I'm sure some people are going to be are you guys? Is Val really paying your way? No, that's just been a joke. That's just been me.
That's an inside
joking
around. Joke.
Yeah.
Just like me giving them shit about these exclusives, damn it. But all right, Fedmon said, Nathan, are you going after the vintage Princess of Power figures also? You might not want to. There's some pricey ones there too, especially some of the later waves.
At the rate that I'm going, yes, I'll probably end up eventually getting there too. Whether I want to or not, I'm just going to end up there. That's just how it's going to turn out.
There's some pricey ones. There's good ones to get, but when you're going to be going after Loki and, God, is it Spinnerella, the one that's super expensive? I think it's Spinnerella.
I haven't even, like, done eBay searches and looked into them just because I've been scared off by all the other pricey things that I have to obtain for just this line alone. We'll see how that
goes. Dive into it. I'm sure, like I said, you're going to have your entire room that upstairs and then what's in front of you that we can't see right now. I know it's just going to grow and grow, but yeah, hell, collect them if you want. But yeah, thank you for that one, Fedmon. Let's see. Zenbron said he was here at the beginning. Good. Sorry, Zenbron, my mind went choom. Zentron said he'll be putting up a video of him showing his She-Ra and He-Man cells soon. Oh, that'd be cool. I always love seeing those He-Man and She-Ra cells. I see a lot of groups doing it, and there's some, again, pricey ones of those as well. But it's nice to know that you can kind of own a piece of history. I guess that's the thing that's missed out, I guess, with modern-day cartoons and stuff is you're not going to be having these hands. You're not having cells no more, so you can't really own a piece of this something you love. And it is great to have something from Masters of the Universe and Princess of Power. So, but JSP had something. JSP said, with regard to molds for figures, a lot of toy lines use similar molds for various figures. G.I. Joe had a basic design for their figures. And see, that's the one thing, JSP, I never knew. I've always said it. I hated G.I. Joe because everybody mocking my name, Yo Joe. So I never watched the cartoon.
What a dumb reason not to watch a show.
It is, but when you're a kid, you hear it every day. It's like, Jesus, this fucking thing. Yo, Joe, you drove me nuts.
I get it. I definitely do. Yes, because, like, my first name is George. So, as a kid, first day of school, when they're going through, even because the kids know that I went by my middle name, but the teacher
does that drive you nuts, Aaron George?
Well,
do you?
It did when I was a kid. Now, not so much, because when I'm, like, a grumpy-ass old man sitting on the porch or whatever, like, it'll fit perfectly. But as a kid...
Oh, George is going to fit, yeah.
But the teacher didn't know. So when they would go through roll call first day of school, it'd be like, George? And I would have... And the kids were already starting to laugh.
Slightly,
and I would have to be like,
hold up your hand like this quick.
Yeah, that's me. I go by Nathan. That's my middle name, because Dad's first name is also George, but different middle names. And the reason I went by my middle name is to not have the confusion when my mom
George
be like,
Junior?
George, no,
George?
I would get that all the time too. I was like, no, it's different middle names, so I'm not a junior.
Chat room and everybody that listens to us now, you know, after Nathan has started calling me that dirty, dirty name that I don't, you guys have the right to call him George all the time.
It's not going to bother me. But as a kid, I would get like, George of the Jungle, Curious George.
What if they start off every comment when they type, say, G, George, and then they start typing something else?
I mean, it doesn't bother me now. Like, it bothered me as a kid, but it doesn't bother me now. And besides, a lot of the older people, too, when I'd be like, all right, yeah, it's George, and they'd be like, George Kennedy, like the actor? And I'm like, yeah, all right, because, you know, he was a naked gun and everything. So, yeah.
Yeah, not bad. All right. Yeah. Well, JSP, thanks for that, because I've, again, I never even owned a figure of G.I. Joe, so I couldn't even compare them. So, I mean, even though I had friends back in the day that had them, I don't remember about the mold design.
I'm looking forward to, I know it's been rumored, but I think that it's almost confirmed, Hasbro's going to come out with 6-inch G.I. Joes, so bring those on. I can't wait to see those.
I'll admit, I do, even though I never, like I said, bought them, I remember they'd always be in the toy aisle. You'd always see G.I. Joe, it seemed like, constantly. So, haven't seen much as of a long time. Many years, I don't think I've really seen G.I. Joe in the store. So, yeah, that'd be good for G.I. Yeah, Joe fans.
I think ever since Retaliation, like, G.I. Joe hasn't been on the... We're due for that, because most of the Hasbro properties, they kind of go through that cycle. Transformers, I feel like, hasn't really left the shelf in quite some time, but G.I. Joe, we're due for it to come back.
Yeah, they deserve it. They deserve it. So, but thank you for that, JSP. And Kyle Kendall said, I think the plan is Origins Buck for WWE, Origins figures, Revelations, New Toon, the Alcala exclusives, movie figures, etc. Interchangeable parts is the whole idea. I follow you there, Kyle. I'm hoping for Revelations, at least for me. I'm hoping it's different. It definitely would mix things up to where I don't feel like I have to shove every single thing into the same spot and they all look similar. I would like to have different display options. Like, here's the Origins, here's for Masters of the Universe. Oh, here are the Revelation figures. For me, it'd be nice to mix it up. I mean, your way of thinking does make sense. I just hope it doesn't apply to the Revelation figures. But thank you for that, Kyle.
I do, before you move on to the next question, yeah, with those Masters of the WWE Universe figures, like, I saw them at my local Walmart hit the show. I haven't seen them since. I'm kind of curious if people have seen restocks since then, because that it kind of concerns me that I haven't seen a restock since that initial wave hit the shelf. So it kind of makes me worry about when Origins do come around, if it's going to be more of the same like that.
I don't know. I'd like to know that too, because, I mean, at least if anything, they've sold. I haven't seen them sit there and go clear. It's unlike...
Yeah, that would be the hope that, like,
yeah,
they've
unlike
been...
the ring with the two... Yeah. Because not to cut you off, but, like, the ring with the two figures, I know some people are like, oh, it's too much money, weren't going after it, and that got clearanced, but, I mean, at least it's good to see them go, and I do have to give it to you. I love that pose you did of the Ultimate Warrior holding onto the rope like that. I mean, I just feel like it looked like he'd be shaking the rope, so that's great for displaying in that ring.
It's just there. I don't know if anyone's noticed. I got to do that again. If you've checked out the videos that I've posted about me digging in the attic right here with the Disco Skeletor, I went ahead, since he's mock, I went ahead and put him on the shelf behind me just to display.
It is a very nice mint on card figure in back here. Yes, it is.
Yep, mock. Fantastic.
Yeah. Oh. All right, Bitmon, the fun. Uh-huh. Fantastic. The fun is going to the Spearmint Rhino in Vegas afterwards. I don't know what that applied to. I must have missed something. Sorry about that, Fedmon. I've been rambling so much. Curtis Ackerman said, I'd much prefer a pre-order to Walmart, maybe carrying them or maybe not. I'd rather have a guaranteed chance at getting them. And I think maybe he's meaning maybe when we're talking about Origins figures or Revelation.
Well, I would like to think that since the Origins figures are going to be mass-produced, that we will see them at Walmart, at Target. We can get them on Amazon, Big Bad Toy Store,
other Entertainment options? Oh, yeah.
I imagine it'll be widely available for anyone, especially if you want to just go ahead and get the case for them. I would recommend.
I agree with that, Curtis.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure they will have pre-order options for places. If not, at least from what I thought I've read, these Masters of the Universe Origins figures aren't exclusive to Walmart. They will be available in other chain stores, so possibly Targets and Myers or any store that carried an action figure. I'm assuming they would be getting them. At least I'd hope, because I hate when it's exclusive just to one store. And like you said, then everybody knows I can only get it there, and that means they're either going to sell out like crazy, or what if they did? Boom, bomb, and they went to clearance. So, but I hope they offer them in other stores. But yes, pre-order, at least you don't have to sit there and wait. So thanks for that, Curtis. Zentron said, which new figure do you think they will screw up? I've never been asked a question like that. That's interesting. I'm thinking on Origins, what is one that could be... God, I always get scared of, like, let's say the clear plastic figures and stuff, like something with Roboto. I'd hope there's not an issue where Roboto has something where it cracks into his clear, you know, body/armor. because my vintage Roboto is still absolutely perfect. I mean, whatever plastic they used back then, spot on. But I know a lot of people said with Classics Roboto, they started experiencing spider cracking, you know, and so I never wanted to touch my Roboto no more because my Roboto's good, but I get scared of, I guess if anything, I hope they don't screw up Roboto with some weird plastic that cracks, I guess, if that's what he was meaning. I don't know.
I guess the thing that I would have to worry about would be how maybe a similar situation that we've had with the Savage World Funkos, where, and I know that this isn't really notorious with Mattel, but like if people are getting them instead of going to the store and finding them, if they're getting them shipped from other places, if something like the legs or something snap off pretty easy or the arms break off.
Yeah.
Or something
like
that.
And I think they improved that because that was it was some things that were unfortunately happened with some of those Savage World figures were the breaking, and not just a simple leg popping off that little socket that you can pop it in, but there were some cracks and breaks. But I thank God, knock on wood, I didn't experience that with any of my figures.
Isn't that funny? Like how when you're talking to, and I've done this too, when you talk about not wanting something bad to happen to something, you're like, well, knock on wood. I kind of wonder where the origins of that came from and why people think that that would stop anything from happening.
You know, like these crazy superstitions, something in our heads, but I always have to say that. But I think that the quality of their plastics has improved because I haven't heard anybody complaining about stuff recently with them. So hopefully, all plastic's good. And Grimbot has a good one because I agree with this. Grimbot says, hope Sonic succeeds because it could make studios more open to fan input. And that is what would be great, is to know it's us passionate fans just wanting something to be great. I mean, when you change something so drastically, we're not upset because you may turn this to that or that to that. It's because, okay, we know what something has always looked like. Why can't you just keep it the way it's like this? It's not because we hate on stuff. We're just passionate fans, and we'd love it to still be something recognizable. I mean, you'd think, hey, well, Sonic, I mean, he's a blue hedgehog. They pretty much nailed it there. It's like, nope. I mean, we're that passionate. Not only do we tell other fans, he looked nothing like the video game or his design. It's like he looked like a deranged little wolf creature. He almost looked like somebody said that in Jumanji when the boy got turned into like a monkey character. Yeah. He almost looked like him. I was like, that looks scary. I want Sonic to have the big eyes. And so you're right. Hopefully that's maybe at least a beginning them realizing.
I hope that that's the case, but I also hope that these people that were championing for change
go see it.
But at the same time too, regardless of how Sonic looked, that movie to me looked like shit regardless. So
I know you. I know, and I can understand some people really
why are we so fascinated with the fact that, or not us? Why is the executive so fascinated with the fact that it's like, all right, we're gonna take this beloved property that had nothing to do with really like humans or anything. Oh, we're gonna plop them down on Earth and just make it like this fish out of water thing. Like, why do we have to do this with every single little thing?
Yeah, they do.
Have the CG take a semblance of the story that was in the game and just make something out of that. We don't have to plop him down on Earth and James Marsden, old shitty Cyclops, finds him and is just like, ha ha, and laughs in suit. Like, don't do that.
It's
like,
true.
Just do something
I know.
Else.
Sometimes you're right. I mean, I can understand, but maybe they think it just. No, and maybe it just wouldn't work within the world of Sonic. So they thought, okay, bring it to Earth. It could, you know, mix it up, which I'm hoping. I'm hoping it's good because we know, like, movies like Super Mario Brothers, that disaster, and Double Dragon, and we don't want this to happen.
Why?
So I'm hoping it's good.
Why?
Yeah. But we'll see. I'm hoping. I'm going to see it because, like I said, I championed for them to change it. They did it.
I mean,
I'm going to see that.
Wait, so you're actually going to spend money on that?
Well, I can get that matinee. It's only like $5.25 around here.
Okay.
So, yeah, I can get this good price.
Ooh.
I don't have to. But, and JSP, you're right. He said Henry Cavill corrected someone recently by calling fans passionate instead of toxic. And it's weird. I mean, it's cool to hear somebody else saying it because you've heard me keep saying that. From the beginning, when I was talking about any of these changes we've seen to where they think they're doing it because X, Y, whatever reason, it's like, no, it's not really needed. Masters of the Universe has had characters that covers every, like, design-wise that you can think of, so you don't need to constantly make drastic changes. But I'm glad that he said that because I hate the word of toxic. No, the fans aren't toxic. They're passionate. Now, am I saying there aren't some fans that go nuts and take it too far? Sure there are. Yeah, but also, they don't need to be name-calling all these fans who are just really excited about a property they love and call names like they've been buying this stuff, whether it's games, comics, supporting the cartoons and toys all these years. So just don't piss all over them like they're nothing. If it wasn't for them, you wouldn't be where you're at.
I get that, but I will slightly disagree with you and say that these passionate fans do have a tendency to be toxic and toxic.
Oh, there are some, but the thing is
well, they just think
they label all of us that though. Like yeah, me, but, like just talking about something. That's not it. There's some honest, like you said, there are.
But there's some people that just feel like they like it so much that they just automatically have an ownership over this property and they control it, and that's not the case at all. So
no, I agree. You're right.
It's a fine line. Fine line.
Yeah, just try to have that respect both ways thing. That's what I mean. If somebody doesn't like it, don't automatically, you being the people who are writing it or producing or something, then just call fans names for it. It's like, no, don't do that. You know, it's like, try to be respectful. There's some nutballs, but some of these people are being nice. You're shitting on, which ain't cool. But let's see. Grimbot said, hey, Joe, whatever happened to Biff Beastman custom that you wanted to do? Well, I went into a couple different versions. I know that one Biff Beastman. Yeah, I'm still going to try. I did one that really doesn't count. It was a Garbage Pail Kids one where I called it Beastie Biff as an homage to the name of Biff Beastman. But I still got some coming, Grimbot. Yeah. Papa Hood said, Joe, been loving the recent customs you made. What's your next creation? Well, I mean, there's ones for customers, but, you know, I usually don't say what I'll make, but I showed a preview and I'll mention one.
What was it? The E.T.? That you did?
No, I did recently make the E.T. that people really got a kick out of. And some people thought I did a neck extender or an attachment when all it was I took Mechanek's body. I used those great Masters of the Universe connectors that Miguel Salik, that he promotes and, you know, helps to sell in all the pages. And it puts the bands back into the legs perfectly. They have strong legs. Well, I took Mechanek's body. Then I got Stratos types of legs because I wanted it to be shorter. And then I cut the feet off and I sculpted E.T.'s feet and the hands. And then you turn his waist and then his neck goes up. It was a genius little thing to do. I thought it went with the character. But I'm going to be making a vintage style Captain Caveman using a Grizzlor body. So that should be another fun one. Will be a vintage Captain Caveman. Brett Jordan said, Joe's customs are fantastic. I appreciate that, Brett. Thanks a lot. Zen Brown saying, you shouldn't be surprised since Nathan has my vintage My Little Pony.
No. Nope.
See?
Not mine. Those are all Emily's from her childhood. You know what? It's kind of been surprising. We haven't really, that hasn't really been brought up a lot in the last few weeks. It's been a long time since anyone's like,
well, you have to bring your pony out. I mean, I know you sleep with it and cuddle with it, but bring it back out.
Yeah.
Zentron said, then another video of him showing off his She-Ra and He-Man UK comics and books. I'm looking forward to that. Definitely do that. I didn't know I did a third F-bomb. Sorry, Zentron. Grimbot said, you could always watch Action Force. And he was, oh, wow, man, we're so behind on these things. I'm going to have to see what we got to recently, or if you see some, because I missed a ton of stuff. See if there's any questions, because my chat, like, jump hiccuped.
Well, a few...
I think I seen Brett Jordan with a question, but go ahead.
No, there were some that were asking me about that record player in the video. Joe could probably honestly elaborate more on that, because that was a thing not from my childhood. That was something that my dad found at a flea market and got, and we just sort of, like, stored away. I don't even remember when he got that, but...
Yeah, that's got some good value to it. I like that, because then when you pop it up and you see the little, like,
it's
He-Man.
Cool.
And it is cool.
It's really awesome, and I know I said cool a lot in that video that got posted. I was, like, rewatching it, and I'm like, I say cool so much. But I think one of the interesting things is right there where you put the record, that it's actually, like, his shield.
The shield.
It's like,
I liked it.
It's a nice touch.
Cool touches. Yeah, they didn't cheap out and just say, you know, like, slap Masters of the Universe logo on a record player. No, they actually did detailing to it. And with all the records they had back then for Masters of the Universe, yeah, you could pop those in at any time. I didn't actually own that. I had to put it in what we had was a big old jukebox. Big old jukebox that the lights they would always stay on, and then, you know, when you do some things, it'd flash. But the light feature, one time we were, I think, as kids fighting and got thrown into, like, the glass cover of it, and it screwed something up. But that's where I'd put it. I remember taking – because I love the lights of it. I would sit in front of that as a kid in the dining room, put a chair in back of me, take the sheet, throw it over the big jukebox and over that. And then it's like I was, like, in a little cave, you know, just sitting there just listening to the story. You know, just escape as a kid. It was fun.
No, it's nice stuff. Most people were asking, too, if it does work. I want to say that it does, because when my dad got it, when he came home with it, he tested it out, and it did work. Fedmon also asked me, would I or would I be able to do a live stream of the Attic Run? The only problem with that is the Attic Run is done. I filmed another video that I'll put up on the channel probably midweek or so. Maybe I can try to live stream when we go to the storage building that we have and dig through there, because there's
still
fun to see a lot of stuff in there as well. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be fun to see. I'd like to see it. Brett Jordan said, do you think they'll give He-Man that awful Dutch boy haircut? I hated. He said, I hated that Super 7 head. Well, you know, the thing is, you think, oh, man, if this is supposed to be continuing, you know, where Filmation left off. I know that they're going to do different designs when they, you know, do the Revelation cartoon. Maybe his hair would be more akin to possibly the Mike Young production cartoon. Maybe it would be something to be like the Vintage Mini Comics. If anything, though, hopefully he's got longer hair and they don't give him a short haircut, because that would not fit the character. So, right. Yeah. Well, I think maybe we might have hit almost everything. The cereal. Last one thing from Grimbaugh, because, yeah, if we missed any of the comments or anything, we apologize. It's just we usually wrap it up around almost 10:20, and we're getting on a roll, but it's been fun. But he said, ooh, the cereal, Joe, when are you eating that? Well, that pertains to Nathan doing in his live. He had some, 18-year-old Spider-Man cereal and some 18-year-old cheese nips that had Daredevil. Yeah. I was like, that was the only thing got me excited in that video was the food.
Of course it was. Joe saw that, and he was just, like, getting hungry. But, yeah, I had the Spider-Man cereal from the first movie, so that came out in 2002. So that's like 18-year-old cereal. There was part of me that's like, oh, well, let me just crack this open and just like eat it. But honestly, I feel like I'd be better off just mailing that to Joe and letting him eat it.
It's a cool-ass box, though. It's like, man, it looks so smooth and clean. Didn't look like it had any dents. I was like, I don't know if it's worth anything, but the condition looked great. But
I imagine it's not. God, I don't know why I saved any of that stuff. Ugh.
Yeah. Well, what the hell. You can pop it open, eat, or I will. But, no, guys, like I said, if I missed anything, I apologize. I tried to get it to everybody. I thought I did at least giving shout-outs to everybody, because it was great. I hope you enjoyed this episode. We always love having you here. And like I always say, for anybody that's new to this channel, make sure you like, subscribe, share, and ring that bell so you can always be notified when we go live. And until next time, have a powerful day.
I didn't get to do this last week because Tyler was on the show. But last weekend was the Super Bowl. So, Joe Amato, during 1999, WWF aired Halftime Heat during the halftime of the Super Bowl. We all know that it was an empty arena match between The Rock and Mankind for the WWF Championship that Mankind won. Yep. But who were the teams? That played in that year's Super Bowl?
God damn, I don't know. I thought you were going to say, how did Mankind pin The Rock? And I was going to say, like, he pinned him with the forklift.
All right,
Why didn't you do a wrestling thing?
I'll give you that one. Because that was, like, oddly shot, too. It was kind
of
like...
Yeah, with the perspective of The Rock.
Yeah, it was kind of lame, honestly. But I watched that. I just thought I'd throw a curveball out there for you.
Nope, don't know the teams. Who was it?
It was the Denver Broncos and the Atlanta Falcons. The Denver Broncos won 34-19.
Okay, a little shit bit of trivia that I would have never known and don't care about. But no, that was pretty cool. But see you guys next time.